And you may be seated. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, and let's open them to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, if you would. Man, I like to stand up here and watch kids sing church songs. I like see them singing the songs before they can read. That means they're learning them because they've been in church, all right? And you hear them over and over, so you learn them. Now, they may not always sing the exact right words. They sing what they hear, okay? But that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Those of you that are sitting on this side, if you get a little warm, it's because that is a Baptist. That thermostat is definitely a Baptist thermostat. You say, what do you mean? Well, it does what it wants to, okay? Doesn't do what it's told to do. It automatically resets. And I was sitting here and I'm going, man, I'm getting hot, you know. And so I got up, went over there, and the thing had reset to about 76 degrees, you know. So I turned it down to 43, all right. Okay, not quite that low, but turned it back where it should be. Ruth chapter 1, all right. Ruth chapter 1. I hope, if you've been paying attention on Sunday night lately, you may see, hey, the preacher's got a pattern going, all right? I'm really just kind of going through the Bible, taking some relatively unknown characters that are in the Bible and trying to preach to you truth from the Word of God. Look, everybody that's in the Word of God is in there for a reason. God didn't arbitrarily and, put whatever names in. No, he put them in there. They're for a reason. And oftentimes we know about the Abrahams. We know about the Moses. We know about the Elishas and the Daniels and Paul. Yeah, we know about those folks. But sometimes it's the somewhat minor individuals that we kind of miss. And so I want to use one of those this evening and preach to you. We're just going to read five verses. It's got the story of his life in five verses, all right? Look at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. We're going to leave off reading there. Like I said, really, the story of Elimelech is told to us in five verses. Just five verses is all we find about him. And it is one truly sad recital of events. Very sad account of a person, all right? Now, you take the rest of the book of Ruth, well, it's all different, all right? The rest of the book of Ruth talks really deals with his wife and even more so the daughter-in-law that, as far as we know, he didn't know, okay? And it deals with her. And it's got a wonderful love story, a wonderful story of the grace and the mercy of God. But these first five verses talk about Elimelech. You see, the problem was he was a backslider. He was a backslider. He got away from God. He got out of the will of God. And that is what backsliders do, all right? I've heard people say all kinds of things about backsliders and what they are. Backslider basically gets out of the will of God and gets away from God, gets away from where God wants them to be, all right? And that's what happens. And what we're going to do is look at this sad account of Elimelech, if we could, and hopefully, we're going to learn enough that we'll never, never consider following his example. Remember, the New Testament says what happened to the folks in the Old Testament is for our example. Now, some are good examples. Some are bad. You can learn from both, all right? You can learn from both. So let's just look at it just for a little bit. I want you to notice, first of all, the backslider, number one, disdains what he has. Disdains what he has. She said, what do you mean? Well, look, it says, came to pass, verse 1, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Hey, Bible names have great meaning. Bible names have great meaning. Now, your name may be Fred, and, you know, I have no idea what Fred means. I've noticed that most people, if they look up their name, they always come up with a name, the meaning for their name that sounds wonderful. No, nobody comes up with a name that says, means slob, worthless, no account, all right? We don't do that. You know, we don't do that. But, hey, the Bible names they had meaning, all right? They had some meaning to them. And that name Bethlehem Judah means this. It means the house of bread and praise. The house of bread and praise. There it is. That's where Elimelech was from. Hey, but that's the problem with the backslider. The first mistake the backslider makes is to belittle, to overlook, and to undervalue what he has. We lose track of what we've got. Hey, we don't realize if you get tempted to backslide, you don't realize that what you're going to do. When you step away from God and you step away from his will in your life, you can mark her down, you're going to suffer loss. There is going to be a loss. And you're going to lose some things. And people lose the things that they don't realize how much they're worth until they've lost them, okay? Don't realize it. It's like the guy that looks now at the price of maybe the value of some baseball card, you know, and looks at it and he realizes, man, that thing's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. And I clipped it with a clothespin to the spokes on my bicycle years ago. Now, those of you younger folks, y'all don't know what that's all about, all right? But you older people, you understand what it was. People used to do that. I never clipped one on my bicycle, and I've still got some of those baseball cards. And the ones I've got are worth nothing. Well, that's the story of my life, all right? Maybe one day they'll get to be worth something. But, hey, we don't value what we have. As I said, Bethlehem Judah means the house of bread and praise. Hey, it was at Bethlehem that the bread of life was provided for mankind. Amen. That was it, all right? Symbolically, it's where God meets the needs of a starving world. So here's Elimelech. That's where he lived. But he was disdainful of what he had. And decided, I need to go in search of what I want. I need to do that. Hey, the backslider today does basically the same thing. He leaves the house of God, and he goes in search of what he thinks he wants. And I don't know how many times I've dealt with people like that. Dealt with people, go knock on their door, used to come to church, used to be faithful members, maybe Sunday school teachers, and even that, held a position in the church, were faithful. But man, you go try to talk to them now, they've gotten so far away from God that they've gotten that place where, you know, this is what I want, this is what I want. And the sad thing is, not until tragedy strikes that they realize, you know what, I lost what was really, really valuable. Really valuable. Every time somebody calls me and says, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I got this problem, and I need help. I need help. My rent's due, and I don't have it. We don't have any food. First question asked, where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? You see, I believe God's people help God's people. I believe we ought to do it. I believe we as a church, I believe if we knew, I believe this with all my heart, I believe if we knew Brother Todd back there, was destitute, and he didn't have anything to eat, I believe we'd help him. I believe we'd help him. I believe if it got to the point where he was fixing to be thrown out on the streets, I believe we'd want to help him. I believe we'd want to help him. We'd say, I'll give you $5 for your couch. No. But I think we'd help him. You with me? We'd want to help him. Why? Well, he's one of us. He's part of the family. It's part of the family. Hey, you remember this. You walk away from that crowd. What's the crowd going to do that you're going to? What's that crowd going to do? What are they going to do for you? And you say, well, preacher, what do they say? Most of them tell me, well, I just haven't found a church yet. I moved here from Lower Slobovia and haven't found the church. I said, how long have you lived here? 5 years. You're not looking very hard. Not looking very hard. Look, when you backslide, it's an evidence that you disdain what you have. Elimelech lived in that place that was the house of bread and praise. But he left, okay? You said, what happened? Well, he was derailed by circumstances. That second thing happens to backsliders. We get derailed by circumstances. What do you mean? Well, circumstances in Elimelech's day, the Bible said there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. Hey, it was tough. It was tough. It got difficult. Elimelech said, well, we're leaving. We're going over to Moab. There's food over there. I've heard there's food over there. So we're going to journey down there and sojourn in the country of Moab. And there's food there. We'll be able to find what we need. Hey, it was the circumstances of that. Hey, I'll not try to deny that those circumstances are dire and they're very difficult. Look, I'm just like you. I like to eat, okay? I enjoy eating. And we most every one of us do, all right? Very few people say, oh, not me. I just hate to eat. Now, we enjoy eating. So, if there's a famine in the land, that is a difficult circumstance. But wait a minute. God's people are not to live governed by the circumstances and situations that arise. Amen. Those circumstances are not to determine how we live. That is not it. We're not at all. Hey, my Bible in Hebrews 10:38 and two other places in the New Testament says the just shall live by faith. By faith. We're to trust God. We're to trust Him. We're to seek Him. Hey, living by faith is far different than just reacting to the circumstances we have. And that's what we begin to do. Circumstances come up, have a difficulty, we react to the circumstances. Hey, we're not to live that way. We're to live by faith. We're to live by trusting God. I want to tell you, God may test your faith from time to time by sending some difficult circumstances. May do that. You're going to run into some difficult circumstances. They're going to test your faith. Now, what are you going to be? Now, hey, it may come to it here, the way things are going now. But I tell you, it may not be a famine of food. It could be a famine of money. Say, man, I'm having trouble making ends meet. Okay, I see that, I understand. You may have trouble making ends meet. So what are you going to do? Hey, you need to keep an eye out. Those are the circumstances. Maybe God tests you by that way. There's a famine of money there, all right? And you got to be careful in that. So what are you going to do? It may be a famine of health. Maybe a famine of health. Your health may decline. You may have some health issues. So what are you going to do? What do you do in those days? It may be a famine of friends. All of a sudden, it seems like all of my friends have deserted me. You know, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Yeah, think I'll eat a worm. I don't know how that little ditty came to be, but it did. Hey, listen, you hear me, all right? You may run in some dire circumstances. Your faith may get tested. It can get tested in a variety of ways. In times of testing, it's not the time to get out of the will of God. That's not the time to depart from what God wants you to do or where God wants you to be. That testing comes. Hey, we're not to do it. So what do? You'll draw closer to Him. You'll draw closer to Him. When I was a kid and I had some problems, when I was a kid and ran into problems, you know what I did? I went to my dad and said, Dad, I just want you to know I don't need your help. I can handle this myself. No, sir, I never did that. I'd get a little closer to Him. I'd get a little closer to Him. I've told you about the experience we had as kids in Georgia and The family lived on the corner of boys and always wanted to fight and everything. But fortunately, we had the secret weapon. Brenda Collins could whip all of them. We'd call on her, and when she'd come, I'd just get close to her. I believe you can handle this, Brenda. Well, listen, that was a kid's reaction, okay? That was a kid's reaction. I didn't get away from my dad. I went closer to the one that had the strength I needed. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what we're to do in times of trial and difficulty and testing today. Don't get away from God. Get closer to Him. I mean, just get as close as you can and fully depend upon Him. Don't let your circumstances derail you from the will of God. Amen. Don't let that happen. We all have circumstances, but don't let them derail you from the will of God. Be careful about it. That's what the backslider does. Third thing I want you to see, notice what the Bible says. He went, in verse 1, he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. The backslider departs when he should have remained. When he should have stayed where he was, he departed. He should have parted. Wait a minute. Hey, Elimelech was already living in the promised land. That's where he was living. Now notice the Bible says in the days of the judges. That wasn't always the greatest spiritual time around, but he was still living in the promised land. That was the place that God had promised to them. It was the place where God had promised to bless them. And he said, we'll do it. That's where he should have remained. He should have stayed there, all right? Should have stayed there. Did you ever stop and think, you reckon everybody else in the land of Bethlehem, Judah left? No. You said, no, they all starved to death. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. But they didn't leave. The backslider, though, departs when he should have remained. We get the idea, if I leave here and go there, I won't have these circumstances. And I just want to warn you, those circumstances, they'll be right with you. They'll go right along. Hey, you're not going to get away from them. They're just going to hang tight to you. Hey, he should have remained where he was. The backslider today leaves the security and the promise of the house of God. Man, always. Now, the backslider may not immediately leave, but eventually he leaves. If he doesn't get right with God, the backslider leaves the house of God. He leaves the place of security, the place of promise. He steps away from the promise, the protection, and the provision of God. Look, I want to tell you, this is the place God's promised. He said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. This is the place I'm going to feed you. This is the place I'm going to help you. When you leave, what you're doing is a backslider. You're doing what Elimelech did. He left the place of blessing. He left the land of promise. He left the place where God had said, this is my land. I'll take care of you. You be here. Hey, he didn't do it, though. Hey, listen, when you feel yourself getting a little bit cold, it's time to strengthen your ties where you ought to be. By the way, it's time to examine to see if maybe there's something wrong in your life that's causing the difficult circumstances. Sometimes those circumstances are our fault. You with me? Sometimes those circumstances are our fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's not somebody over yonder. It's not somebody over there. Their fault. No, it's our fault. We're doing something, or we're not doing something we should be doing, and it's caused some difficult circumstances, and our answer is, I'll leave. Well, that's not going to help. That's not going to help. It's your house. You were growing up. Now, if you were the only child, you never had this problem. But if you were not the only child, there was conflict between you and brothers or sisters. Some of you are no longer children, and you still have conflict with brothers or sisters. All right? They're still there, all right? Well, the answer is not, I'm out of here. It doesn't fix the thing. No, you need to take a look. You need to examine yourself. Am I the problem? Am I the problem? But Elimelech, he looks around. He says, we're having a famine here in our land. We're leaving. We're leaving, all right? He departs when he should have stayed, okay? He departs when he should have stayed. What a mistake. But that's not all. The backslider delays when he should depart. He said, what do you mean, preacher? He departs when he should have stayed. Now you're saying he delays when he should have left. Okay, get it right. Well, okay, look, if you will, in verse 1. There's a key word in verse 1. Verse 1 says they went to sojourn. They went to sojourn in the land and the country of Moab. Now, to sojourn is to stay just a little while. Just to stay just a little while. The idea in the beginning was we're going down there, we're going to sojourn. The idea is we're going down there to get a little relief from the circumstances in the land, but we know those circumstances will improve, and when they do, we're coming back. We're going to return to the land from which we left, return to that promised land, return where we're supposed to be, all right? Now, that's what should be, but that's not what happens. He said, how do you know that? Look in verse 2. All right. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon, Chilion, Epaphrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, whoops, and continued there. They came, but they continued there. They were no longer sojourning. They were no longer sojourning, all right? It's the continuing that brings even more trouble upon us. Why? Because we're out of the will of God, remember? He was out from where he should have been. He was out the place from God had provided for him. He's away from there. He's left. We're just leaving temporarily. Just leaving temporarily. Hey, preacher, I'm just running over there. There's a better job. And I'm just moving there for just a little while, a better job. And boy, when conditions improve, we're coming back. Well, wait a minute. Where does God want you to be? Well, I hadn't asked God. Haven't asked God. Haven't consulted with him. Well, what church are you going to go to? I don't know, preacher. We hadn't got there yet. Listen, I'll tell you this, all right? Before you start up and just take this big leap, you need to know where you're going. You need to know what you're getting into. I'm not bragging, just stating it. I appreciate the fact my son, when he was going to move to Arkansas, thinking about it, he went over there and looked for a church. Exactly what he should have done. Exactly what he should have done. He still got out of the will of God and he lived over there. No, I was just kidding, all right? Look, hey, it's easy. It's easy to get out of the will of God. It's easy because stuff over there looks better than it does right here. Same old story. The grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. Well, we're only going for just a little while, then we'll be back. We'll be back. That's what I've told my wife. I said, sweetheart, now listen, we're moving over to there, that house on Netches, but we're not going to stay there very long. And we didn't. We only lived there 19 years, okay? It's not long at all. Hey, that was the idea. We went to sojourn, but we continued there, okay? We continued there. Hey, the backslider does that. When he should depart, he delays. They were happy. You say, why? Because he gets out, and he gets comfortable being out, and he continues to stay out of the will of God, all right? Say it again, he gets out of the will of God. He gets comfortable out of the will of God, so he continues out of the will of God. Look, I could take you to homes of people that I believe with all my heart are saved. Saved people. I've knocked on their door within the last 2 or 3 months. I tried to get them to come. I begin to sense you don't want me knocking on your door, and you're tired of me coming. You're tired of me coming. And one of them I even said, I said, look, I can tell you don't want me to come. I said, now the only reason I'm here is because I care about you. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be here. But I do not want to make you mad. And I just flat out, I said, it seems to me y'all have got used to being out of the house of God. You're not going to believe it. He shook his head, yes. Yep, we've got used to it. So we don't mind. We don't mind. Now, hey, there's plenty of people doing that very same thing today. Why? Well, they've got used to being out of the will of God. Hey, you get used to taking Sunday as your day instead of the Lord's day. You get used to that. I don't care who you are, you can. We just get used to it. That's what the backslider does. He gets used to it. Then what happens? Well, the heart gets colder and colder unto the things of God. When you need to depart and head back to where you know you should be, but we're going to stay just a little bit longer. They continued there in Moab. Now, everything seems to be going okay till you get to verse 3. And the Bible says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Now, the picture is he wasn't an old man, but he died. And he left his wife, and he left his two sons. He left them there, all right? I just want to tell you something. Backsliding can deal death to you. So, preacher, you're trying to scare me? If I could, I would. Yep, I would. I'd scare you. I'd do my best to scare you to stay in the will of God. If I thought that would work, yes, sir, I'd do that. Because it's important you realize you dawdle around too long in the wrong place and it can bring death. That's what happened to Elimelech. He's there. He's out of the will of God. He's out of the promised land. He's over in Moab. He's there where he got no business being. He refused to get right. He refused to repent. God said, I can take care of that. So he died. He died right there. Sometimes backsliding can kill you. Hey, sometimes it can physically kill you. I believe, name a man who many years ago was a member of this church. Out of the will of God, got killed. Got killed. Young. You say it was an accident. No, I don't think so. I think God said, okay, time's up. I've given you a chance to get right. You won't do it. You won't do it. And backsliding can sometimes kill you. But I want to say this to you. It will always kill your influence for good. It will always kill any influence for good that you have. It will kill your testimony. It'll kill it. You say, well, that's not the big deal. Wait a minute. You better stop and think about that just a little bit. Hey, people get out of the will of God and they've got a family. And they lose their testimony with their family. Lose their testimony with their family. It's amazing that parents kind of get lackadaisical about going to church so their kids don't go to church and so their grandkids go up without ever getting born again. I don't know how you feel about it. I value the fact. I value my children. I value my grandchildren. I don't want to go to heaven and leave any of them here and say they're not going. Why? Because of my testimony. Because I looked at you, preacher, I saw your life, and I could tell from your life it really didn't mean that much to you. So it's not that big a deal. Hey, it'll kill your testimony. You get out of the will of God, you get away from God, it will kill your testimony. It will kill your relationship with God. Listen, isn't that worth something to you? Isn't your relationship to God worth something to you? I mean, come on. This is the one that gave his son to pay your sin debt, and he saved your soul. He's blessed you. He's helped you in life. And now you've got to a point because of some circumstances. You said, I'm out of here. And God deals with you, but you said, I'm not interested. I don't want that relationship anymore. Hey, boy, you're walking on dangerous ground, okay? But this may be the most difficult part. The backslider always damages other people. Always damages other people. Look at here. Notice what he said. He went to the country of Moab there in verse 1. He and his wife and his two sons. The immediate influence is in your family. The immediate influence is in your family. When you decide to backslide, you're going to take your family along. It's going to affect them. It's just going to have an effect on them. It'll have an effect on other people too. We live in this old world with the idea, well, nobody's watching me. I'm just a Christian here in the midst of a whole bunch of other Christians. Nobody's paying any attention. Yes, somebody is. Somebody's got their eyes on you. Somebody's focused on you. Somebody's watching you. It may be somebody you don't even consider, all right? But they're watching. And they begin to see you get out of the will of God, and they said, well, it wasn't that big a deal, was it? Wasn't that big a deal. I was right there about to be convinced, but guess it's no big deal. No big deal. You'll take people along. I just want to tell you, his sons married wrong. The Bible tells us in the order of what they said, his sons were left, and then it says they took them wives of the women of Moab. They should have never married a Moabitess woman. Never. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the Word of God. God told his people to marry their people, not to go outside and marry other folks, all right? He said, you stick here and you do what you should, but they went wrong. Hey, wait a minute. They died. They died. So here's Naomi, the wife. Her life's been messed up, okay? Because she went with her husband. She's lost him. He's now dead. She's lost both of her sons, and what she has now is two daughter-in-laws. And so that's the position she's in. Can I just say to you, make sure you don't let a backslider take you down when he goes down. Don't do it. And you say, well, how are they going to do it? Well, you start listening to their criticism, their carping, their complaining. One of the worst mistakes we get is we begin to listen to people that are disgruntled, that are disgruntled. We listen to people that are disgruntled, and they begin to find fault and begin to condemn everything, you know, and it just spreads. In the 46 years we've had our Christian school, there's been a time or two somebody would get unhappy. I don't know how. I've never made a mistake at all. But they'll get unhappy, okay? And rather than dealing with the problem, and rather than, really and truly, I'm serious. Now, I was kidding when I said I never made a mistake. I have. But instead of coming and saying, hey, can I sit down with you? I need to talk to you about something. They don't do that. Instead, they begin to go around and talk to other people. Begin to condemn, begin to criticize, begin to just find fault with little things. Little things. Never anything important, never anything big, just little things. But that's what, hey, that happens in the house of God sometimes. People get a little bit disgruntled. They're beginning to get away from God. They're beginning to backslide. And then they begin to point fingers and they begin to complain. The preacher, he preaches too long. And he ought to cut it off a little quicker, all right? Shouldn't spend so much time there. Hey, you know, I don't know if you ever remember, you ever heard that song that came out in the 70s, Excuses. You know, the preacher, he's too young, or maybe he's too old. You know, his sermons are not hard enough, or either they're too bold. You know, and that kind of thing. And he's a very stuck-up man, because I heard some woman say, he didn't even shake my hand. Yeah, we can find criticism. We can find critics. People criticize, boy, just little bitty things. People get their feelings hurt. They begin to get away from God. They begin to backslide. Hey, watch out! When they begin to talk to you, you be careful they don't take you down with them. You be careful that they don't get you away to God, from God. Don't listen to their criticism and garbage. You say, well, how am I going to handle it? I've told you before how to handle it. If somebody comes to you and wants to talk to you about Brother Marshall, do you know what he did? You just grab him by the arm and said, no, I don't. Let's go see him. Amen. You'll all of a sudden find somebody pulling against you. They don't want to do that. That's not what they want to do. You know, somebody, you said, well, you know, I think my child's Sunday school teacher was just a little bit too hard. Well, okay, so you went and talked to him like you should have. Well, no. You went and checked out the situation. Well, no. Yeah, that's the way people did in school, too. Their kid comes home and tells them something, and the parent believes everything the child says. I hope y'all figured this out. You can't believe everything your kid says. Now, it doesn't mean your child is a liar. But your child sees it from their perspective. They don't see everything. They just see that little narrow view that's theirs. That's the way it is with us as people. We see our little narrow thing, and we don't see the big picture. And rather than go and talk to somebody that's dealt with it and is living with the problem and handling it, you get mad at them, you begin to go talk about them. Hey, you become the backslider. You become the one that's headed the wrong direction. You're getting away from God. You said, "Preacher, who are you talking about?" Everybody that's ever done it. Remember the purpose of this message? It's not straighten you out, but to keep you from being involved. That's the purpose. Now, if some of you are doing this, well, there's the altar. There's the altar. You need to get right with God. That's what you need to do. Hey, you don't need to become that backslider. You don't need to allow the backslider to take you down. Look, folks, backsliding is easy. Easiest thing in the world. Not only that, it's contagious. It is contagious. But I'll tell you this, it's deliberate. Elimelech did not leave just, you know, well, all of a sudden I found myself and my family and our stuff in Moab. No, it was a deliberate act. They made a choice. But can I say this to you? It's fixable. It is fixable, and it is forgivable. But the best way to deal with it is before it happens. Before it happens. I'll never forget, I've got a book in my library somewhere written by a guy by the name of Ron Riley. Ron Riley was a youth director years and years ago at Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida. And he wrote a book, and the title of the book was Building Youth is Better Than Mending Men. Hey, I'll tell you, it's the easiest way to fix the problem is before we let it happen. Not to get in that place. Not to get there. I want to tell you, it got tough for Naomi. It got tough for Naomi. She's with her husband. Now she lost her husband. She lost her two sons. You say, well, she had two daughters-in-law. Wait a minute. They weren't the people of God. They weren't the people of God. She's in a mess. But God was still good to her. Look, you can fix it, but fix it before it gets there, all right? If you ever, you get to that point where you begin to feel your heart begin to cold. Listen, every one of us, we know when that happens. We know when that happens. If you ever get to that day where, I want to stay home, but I guess I'll get up and go to church. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You need to get to church that day, and you ought to hit the aisle. You ought to get at the altar, and you ought to talk to God. There ought to be something done. Don't wait until you're out. You've been out for 6 months or 6 years or you know, 56 years and years later, and you look around, hey, I've lost my family, and everything is a shambles. And it all goes back because I got away from God. Got away from Him. Doesn't have to happen. You can fix it, but it's easier fixed in the earliest stages. Earliest stages. And Elimelech will pay the price for backsliding. But his family paid the price too. They paid the price. Would you bow your heads tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed? Listen, my friend, I don't know about you, but as your pastor, it's my desire that you have a very close relationship to God. I want you to know Him. I want you to walk with Him every day. But I know what the devil does to us. I know what he does. Maybe the Lord does send a test.